All right. Hi, this is Josh Turum. I am the managing partner and owner of Hickey and Turum, a small law firm in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. We primarily handle workers' compensation matters as well as personal injury matters. I've been handling these claims for almost 12 years now, and I'm happy to talk about a number of details surrounding these particular claims and issues. So today, I'm going to talk about a topic that seems to come up pretty frequently, and I receive a lot of questions on it, especially on the front end of things, which is determining the validity of a workers' compensation claim in Wisconsin. And by validity, I just simply mean, you know, what makes a valid workers' compensation claim, and what sorts of cases are the ones that we're taking on and assisting people with. And so the way I kind of look at this topic is there's, you know, kind of two parts to it. First and foremost, the questions that are raised are the merits of a claim. And I'll go into detail about that. And the second part is the damages component of the claim, because sometimes these cases can have all the merit to them and make perfect sense. But if the damages aren't there, then it's not going to make sense for an injured worker to pursue those claims and for our firm to pursue those claims. So starting with the merits of the claim, what we mean by merits is kind of, you know, what is this claim about? Does it make sense? Is it going to be something that we can present in front of a judge and the judge is going to look, you know, fondly upon and think that, yes, you know, this is a valid claim that should be paid? So the first thing that we're going to look at is the mechanism of that injury. So when we're talking about the merits, we want to know, how did the injured worker get hurt? Does it make sense? Does the story make sense in terms of how that injury occurred? You know, if somebody is saying to me that they hurt their back when in fact they had fallen forward, for example, I want to know, okay, how is that possible? How did that happen? And really explore that mechanism and be detailed in what that mechanism is. Same thing goes for, you know, making sure that we have, if it's a multiple body part sort of claim, we want to know how multiple body parts were hurt in that one particular incident. And so the mechanism and how the injury actually happened is really, really important. You know, just does that mechanism of injury, did the way that happened, does it sound like something that would hurt? It seems kind of silly, but that is a question that comes up all the time. And it's kind of that test that a judge kind of runs through their brain, which is, you know, hey, would that something like that actually, you know, hurt? You know, somebody falling down the stairs, yeah, they can relate to that. They get it. They know why that would hurt. Something, you know, getting hit by something at a high speed, same sort of thing. I mean, they can get it. You know, sometimes, you know, other things, you know, oh, you lifted this 1 pound thing and while you were doing it repetitively, I don't really understand how that would hurt. You know, so those are the kind of things that we're looking for in terms of determining, are we going to be able to prove our case and show that this mechanism of injury was legit? And so that's kind of step one in the merits analysis. Step two is we look at the reporting of the incident. Was that incident reported right away? Was there a delay in reporting? Ideally, you know, the incident was reported right away and there was a written incident report that was completed and provided to the employer. Sometimes those mysteriously disappear. So we want to know, was that filled out? Do you have a copy of it? And did that report specifically outline exactly what you're telling me? You know, is the mechanism of injury the same? Is the date of injury the same? That sort of thing really matters. And then most importantly, was that incident report made in a timely manner? In the state of Wisconsin, we need to see that report filed within 30 days. But I can tell you that if that's not filed within the first day or two, the claim starts to lose its merit. It starts to become a bit of an issue, or there's now a problem that we're going to have to overcome. So we really want to see that report done right away. The third thing that we look into or we look for is, you know, if we've gotten through a decent part of the claim, is the diagnostic testing. You know, has the individual had an MRI done, an X-ray, an EMG? These are all diagnostic tests that are performed to determine, you know, objective findings, or determine, yeah, this MRI of an individual's shoulder showed a tear, you know, in the bicep, or showed a tear of the rotator cuff, or showed some sort of clear issue as to why, you know, this work injury caused this particular issue, or how it caused an issue. You know, if we get that diagnostic testing back and it doesn't show anything objective, there isn't a tear, there isn't a herniated disc in the back or the neck or something to show that clearly there is this issue that needs to be resolved, or that's causing a significant issue, that can be a problem. So those diagnostic tests are really, really important for us to know, number one, that they're done, but number two, what are the results of them, and how did that, you know, what sort of treatment was needed to resolve that issue, depending on what the results were of that test. Next, we just want to know generally, what's the treatment that was undertaken? You know, is this something that was resolved in a few weeks, after a few weeks of physical therapy? Or is this something that involved, you know, diagnostic testing, you know, injection therapy, chiropractic care, you know, and then ultimately lead down the road of having to see a surgeon, or even having some sort of surgical procedure done? All of that really matters. Depending on the treatment that's undertaken, you know, that's going to lead down the path of if this is a permanent injury, not a permanent injury, and so on. And, you know, the more treatment that's undertaken, the more likely that we're headed down the path of something that our firm can assist with, opposed to something that's done, you know, in a few weeks, or there's simply a few weeks of therapy or something like that, and the person is totally fine after that. So the actual treatment really matters. The next thing we look at, or we ask about, is any sort of pre-existing or pre-injury condition of the same body part that's impacted. So we want to know, did the injured worker have a prior issue with this particular body part? And then specifically, if they did, you know, how, when was this issue? Was this recent to the work injury, or was this something years ago? You know, sometimes if somebody had the same issue with the same body part, but it was, you know, 10, 15 years ago, that doesn't necessarily have the same sort of impact as the person who had the issue, you know, a few days or a few months before that work injury. So we really want to know, what is that pre-existing or pre-injury issue, if there is one. And then we want to know how to kind of frame our case depending on how significant that pre-injury issue was, and how recent was it in comparison to when the work injury happened. So that's really, really important for us to know. And that kind of leads us right down the path to kind of our second step. So if we kind of pass all of those tests as far as the merits component of the claim, you know, the mechanism makes sense, the report of injury makes sense, there's objective findings on MRI, you know, and then there's significant treatment undertaken, and the pre-injury or pre-existing condition is either non-existent or minor, or something that happened a long time ago, then we look to kind of the next step in it, which is, what are the damages? Are there damages that are worth pursuing? Maybe everything checked out in that first step, but if there wasn't anything to actually recover or go after, more or less the so what component of a claim, then maybe it's still not something that we can assist with. So we want to talk about damages and figure out what those damages are. In the Wisconsin, or under the Wisconsin Workers' Compensation Act, there's four primary types of damages. And sometimes we have claims for all four of them. Sometimes we have claims for only one of them. And sometimes it's a combination of two or three, or like I said, potentially all four of them. The four are, first and foremost, is temporary total disability. Temporary total disability, think of as lost wages. Those are the wages that someone is missing or losing as a result of the work injury, where their doctor either takes them off of work completely due to the work injury, or they're under some sort of restriction that the employer cannot accommodate. And so they're missing time from work and they're losing wages. Temporary total disability under the Wisconsin Workers' Compensation Act, that's paid at 2/3 of someone's average weekly wage. And the rationale behind 2/3 is that 2/3 is meant to replicate an injured worker's net pay. So if you think of it in the context of a gross amount that you would receive pre-tax, what temporary total disability is meant to do is to replicate or be the same as your net. So your net recovery after that, because any dollar that you receive from workers' comp, whether it be lost wages or permanent disability, is a tax-free payment. So the reason that it's 2/3 of your standard or average weekly wage is because it's tax-free. So again, it's meant to be as close as possible to what you were receiving in your net, what your actual paycheck looked like, either weekly or biweekly. So again, our question is going to be, well, how much time did you miss from work? Was it a week? Was it 2 weeks? Was it a month? Months? Years? You know, how long were you off? Because we need to know if you were off for a significant amount of time, we can start to see that, yes, there are damages there. There are value. There's a value for us to go after to recover for you. Number two, we want to know, has the doctor assigned what's called permanent partial disability or PPD? That's a percentage of disability that's actually assigned as a result of a work injury or potentially a surgical procedure that was undertaken. So that percentage of disability equates to a value. And if the person calls or the injured worker calls when they already have that percentage, we can actually provide that value right over the phone or in an email or text message. If the person had a surgical procedure and we know what that surgical procedure was, we're going to know what the statutory minimum percentage of disability is to that procedure, assuming there is one. So, you know, these are all things that we're going to want to know. You know, is there a percentage of disability that's been assigned, or can we anticipate there's going to be a percentage of disability assigned? Third is loss of earning capacity. So has the injured worker been given some sort of permanent restriction and the employer that they were working at cannot accommodate that restriction? So there's now a permanent restriction assigned as a result of that work injury, and the employer is saying, no, we cannot bring you back under that restriction. Sorry, you know, you got to go to the open labor market or somewhere else to find a different job. Well, in that instance, we'd want to know, has that individual sustained a loss of earning capacity? Because that can equate to a significant value. And kind of along those same lines, can that person be retrained? If they're no longer can do the job they're working at the time they got hurt, you know, can they be retrained or be put into what's called, you know, formal schooling or vocational retraining, which is going to bring them back up to the amount that they were earning at the time of injury, ideally, if they can get the education that they need. So loss of earning capacity, retraining benefits is the third main damages component to a claim. And lastly, our medical expenses. We want to make sure that any medical expenses incurred as a result of the work injury are paid by workers' comp, and any out-of-pockets are reimbursed, such as copay deductible and things like that. So we want to make sure all those medical expenses are taken care of, and an injured worker isn't left with a bunch of medical expenses to pay in the long run. So again, just to recap, we have kind of a two-part analysis that has subparts that I went through, but we really have a two-part of analysis of determining what are the merits of the claim. Is this something that's going to check out? Does it make sense? And do we have the objective diagnostic testing and treatment behind us to prove that? And then number two, what are the damages? What are we actually asking for? Again, the so what component of the claim. So that's really how we determine the validity of a workers' compensation claim in Wisconsin. Obviously, there are a little bit, a lot more detail, ins and outs, things like that, that we're going to look for to see how we can help and where we can help. But more or less, that's how we're going to determine if it's something that we can take on and help with. So thank you for listening. Hopefully this information is helpful. Again, this is Josh Turum over at Hickey and Turum. And thank you again.